Today we're talking about lions. King of the jungle. Lions, especially male lions, have been an important mythological symbol for thousands of years. Leo symbolizes the fifth house of the zodiac and fire, their element. Lions have enjoyed a positive depiction in religion and popular culture as majestic creatures that appear strong but gentle at the same time. Samson is a biblical figure whose name means man of the sun. According to the Bible, Samson was in possession of immense strength that aided him against his enemies. And allowed him to perform glorious feats, such as quickly killing a lion, slaying an entire army with only the jawbone of a donkey. Toppling a temple, literally with his bare hands, by pushing apart massive stone pillars. However, if Samson's long hair was cut, he would lose his strength. You see, Samson took the vow of a Nazarite, and in addition to allowing his hair to grow, he was to fulfill some other obligations, like abstaining from wine. Nazarite comes from a Hebrew word meaning to consecrate or separate. The influence of this tradition can be seen on the modern Rastafari movement, who make reference to the Nazarite vow taken by Samson, with the visible sign of his vow being the Rastafarian dreadlocks. There are even claims being periodically circulated that certain tribes of Native Americans also refused to cut their hair, believing that they were endowed with heightened senses and perceptions, or aided somehow in hunting perhaps, and so their hair remained uncut. And while this story is rather interesting, it still goes largely unsubstantiated, so can't be directly linked to Samson. However, the link is clear with one of my favorite solar deities, Hercules, who, while traversing his 12 labors, also fights a lion, ultimately slaying it, as he does each time, before entering the next house of the zodiac. Hercules was the son of Zeus, or Jupiter if you prefer the Roman equivalent, and is famous for his strength and many adventures. Gilgamesh is the semi-mythic king of Uruk, the ancient Mesopotamian city of Sumer, and later Babylon, situated east of the present Euphrates River in Iraq. He's best known from the Epic of Gilgamesh, which predates Homer's writing by around 1500 years, and is depicted with superhuman strength and was said to have lived an exceptionally long life. I refer to him as semi-mythic, because while the story contains obvious scenarios of astrotheology, it is also referencing people, places, and events. The word astrotheology comes from the Greek word astron, which means star, and the word theology, which means the study of God or religion. So while Gilgamesh is in a sense just a constellation in the heavens, he's also widely accepted as the historical fifth king of Uruk, a flesh and blood ruler, with historical evidence for Gilgamesh's existence found in inscriptions crediting him with the building of the Great Wall of Uruk, or modern-day Warka in Iraq, which, in the story, are the tablets upon which he first records his great deeds and his quest for the meaning of life. That said, there are other references to him by known historical figures of his time, the 26th century BC, and this includes other kings and king lists, and there's even a German team of archaeologists that claim to have discovered his final resting place. According to legend, Gilgamesh was buried at the bottom of the Euphrates when the waters parted upon his death, and the archaeological excavations in and around the old riverbed of the Euphrates have revealed garden enclosures and specific buildings described in the Epic of Gilgamesh, including the Great King's Tomb. Samson, Hercules, and Gilgamesh were all archetypal representations of a solar deity, in other words, the sun, each overpowering the lion, or Leo, that is to say, passing through one of the 12 houses of astrology, thus expressing the concept of the procession of the equinox in an epic poem, legend, or religious document. At the same time, these larger-than-life characters were also based, to various degrees, on real people and events, and not total fabrications or complete fiction. In the Order of the Nazarite, there are esoteric interpretations linking it to the royal priesthood, which imply that purity and holiness must be maintained, which translates to refraining from ejaculation. According to oral tradition, 30 days was the shortest possible period of time for a Nazarite's vow. When a Nazarite completed a vow, he was to cut his or her hair and present the locks of hair which represented the duration of the oath of service at the temple. Both Vedic and Taoist traditions recommend 100 days of celibacy, which is usually termed a season. Ancient tantric teachings have always acknowledged the transformative potential of sexual energy. This allegedly results in vitality, increased creative productivity, even regarded as the fountain of longevity. Was this the real secret behind Samson's strength and how Delilah stole it from him? Some athletes seem to think so. This energy loss from ejaculation may explain why many boxers, for example, including Muhammad Ali, abstained from sex before competing so they'd presumably have reserve strength to draw on. But not everyone agrees, so just let me know what you think in my comment section. My name is Robert Sepper. Thank you for listening and sharing if you enjoy my videos. I'm always available to answer questions from people who have purchased my books. They're available on Amazon.com. We greatly appreciate the recent donations that several of you have made to Atlantean Gardens, the nonprofit organization that I donate these videos to. Thank you so much for helping me to do this, and as always, for the encouragement, which makes me feel my effort is worthwhile and keeps me going. So that's all, folks. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next time.